Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Can we be there? Nah, we are here.
Oh, just think of the time.
And so is another phase of the NFL offseason.
Heart and love so strange.
You know, the NFL is so darn creative with what they've done here. They've almost, you know, hijacked the calendar. Like the yearly calendar, not the seasonal calendar. And in fact, the seasonal calendar has sort of become the NFL yearly calendar. And a new phase of that starts today, Stoke, and we're already seeing stuff rolling downhill here. And you love this time of year.
I do. It's fun. It's fun to see where these players are going to end up. It's fun to see your football team that you pull for here in Denver, what kind of moves they're going to be making, who the new players are going to be here. So I like it. It's exciting. And, you know, just a couple years ago, they put in this tampering period right before free agency, which is smart. You know, instead of having the news like slowly sprinkle out and then everybody already knows by Wednesday or whenever the official league year starts, you might as well have it set in stone so people will look forward to it. And it just gives you more momentum. And then so you'll talk about it for the next couple of days. And then also when they sign, you'll talk about it again. It's official now.
That's right.
These people are smart.
They are smart. And the tampering was going to happen anyway. It's always happened.
Yep.
It's probably now happening before the tampering period begins in the first place. I think we'd be a little bit naive to think that that wasn't the case. And you sort of get a hint of that, at least I do, when, you know, 8 minutes into the tampering period, we already got deals done. You can't tell me these things are ironed out in 8 minutes. There's some greasing of the skids here. And I'm talking about Trent Brown's deal. Really amazing. Patriots left tackle for this past season intends to sign, in air quotes, a 4-year, $66 million contract that includes nearly $37 million in guaranteed money.
Good move for the Raiders. You know, they're trying to make some moves there. They're trying to rebuild that roster. But certainly, when you look at a contract getting done like that, that quickly into when the tampering period starts, it lets you know that that ball was rolling probably at the combine.
Yeah.
And I think the NFL's okay with it. Just don't let it leak out. Make sure it doesn't leak out until first day of free agency. So if you do that, okay, you're fine. I mean, the first day of right when tampering starts.
Right.
Excuse me.
Yep.
But if you do it before that, now I think the league would have an issue with that.
This is 2 years in a row that the Patriots have lost their left tackle. Last year it was Nate Solder who signed that monster deal with the New York Giants. Didn't really work out like the G-men had hoped after 1 year. But this Trent Brown, the case of Trent Brown, I mean, they acquired, the Patriots acquired Brown for a fifth round pick. They use him for a year. He's one of the best left tackles in all of football. They go and win a Super Bowl, and then he moves on, and what they get for compensation is a third-round compensatory pick.
The following year.
So
that'll be next year.
It'll be next year.
Yep.
But this is just more like, you know, you don't want to overgloss the Patriots, but by God, they get it right.
Most of the time they do. Not all the time.
Not all the time.
We give them a lot of credit. But they do get things like this right. But they get a lot of things wrong also. But you look at their plan and what they've been able to do. You let Nate Solder go and somebody else pays him. You're going to get a compensatory pick now this year for him, probably a third rounder. And then you are able to get a guy that's on the cheap and he comes in and plays really well for you. I mean, it's hard to do that, though. Now, obviously, when you have a good offense and a really good quarterback, it allows your guys to play better on your team than they do on most other teams.
Sure.
So I think the formula that they have, yeah, it's worked for them, of course. But a lot of things have gone their way when you talk about how good they are and how good Tom Brady is and how he helps those guys look better than what they are. So somebody overpays for them. And that's what happens. And then they get compensatory picks, and now you have more draft picks. So now you can miss more because you have more to use. And you'll look great in the draft. Oh, the Patriots draft really well. Well, they got a lot of draft picks.
They got more shots at the target.
That's right.
And one of the details that's lost here in the Trent Brown, or the case of Trent Brown, He was playing right tackle for the San Francisco 49ers. They brought him in there, put him at left tackle. Boom, they're off and rolling. And what's more interesting is that, you know, the Raiders trade for Trent Brown. They just drafted, and this conversation should sound familiar if you've been listening to this program in recent weeks. They just drafted in the first round Colton Miller, the kid out of UCLA, to play left tackle, where they are bringing Trent Brown in to play that position, and they're going to move Colton Miller over there to the right side. And we talked about that because the prospect of potentially bringing in a guy in the first round, there's a couple kids, Washington State, Alabama, that you could see John Elway drafting, putting them at left tackle, and scooting over your former first-round pick from 2 years ago in Garrett Bowles.
Yeah, why not? If that's what you're looking to do, and the Raiders are looking at it like we've talked about. Now your offensive line's fixed, both bookends. You feel like you got a good left tackle that went to right tackle. I don't know how they felt about Colton Miller this year. I watched him play the couple games against the Broncos, and it seemed like he was doing well for a rookie. But now, you know, you move into the right side, you got your left tackle, and you're set. And the Broncos could do that also. But the question would be, how would Garrett Bowles play a right tackle? I think he would be better than a left tackle. Going back to the Patriots situation, you look at Nate Solder leaving, and then you look at Trent Brown leaving this year. Obviously, their offense and Tom Brady helps those guys out, but their coaching, Scarnecchia, Dante.
Yep.
Their offensive line coach. He does a great job of coaching those guys up. And so that's what allows you to do. You go trade for Trent Brown from the 49ers for a fifth-round pick. You move in the left tackle, and all of a sudden he starts every game, and he's one of the best in the game. Well, coaching has a lot to do with that, and you kind of hope Mike Munchak could have that kind of impact on the Broncos' offensive line. Now, I don't think Dante Scarnecchia would be this great offensive line coach without Tom Brady. Now, he's a really good coach, but obviously Tom Brady and having him as your quarterback makes those guys look a little bit better. But you can see what good coaching does. And hopefully Mike Munchak has that kind of impact on the Broncos' offensive line.
And I think last week, you know, I was talking about the prospect and the admission of drafting a left tackle would say that we don't have our guy at left tackle that we just aimed for 2 years ago in the first round. That being said, if you get it right, it doesn't matter. Like if you get it right and we're gonna draft a left tackle in the first round and he's the franchise guy and Garrett Bowles is on the right side and we got there in a roundabout way, who cares?
That's right.
If you get it right,
just like with Bradley Chubb, you know, you drafted Shane Ray a few years before in the first round. I mean, you don't want to spend another first-round pick on a pass rusher, outside linebacker, when you got Von Miller. But if you get it right with Bradley Chubb, it is what it is.
Yeah. You and I both agreed that Antonio Brown wouldn't have been the right fit here in Broncos country. But how do we feel now about trying to slow this guy down at a minimum of twice a year moving forward? I want to get your thoughts on this next. Antonio Brown to the Raiders. I'd like to say this caught me off guard, but Stoke, when you were out on Friday, hope Palm Springs treated you well. We missed you, but I said, my gut just tells me, because there was the night before, and we never got to talk about this, the craziness that was the Antonio Brown of the Buffalo Bills that just broke the internet like at 11 o'clock at night. It was crazy. Ian Rappaport's report that, you know, that's the danger with that business, man. Trying to get it first.
Right.
Trying to get it right. Like, I was texting with Nikki Jabala from The Athletic. She said, this is my worst nightmare, being in this business. It's my worst nightmare.
Wow.
If you want to break the story, and it's a big boy story.
Right.
Maybe the biggest of the NFL offseason.
I mean, did he ever address it after that? I was looking like nothing, really.
Nope. Crickets. Crickets. Sort of insinuated that it was close to getting done, and then there was some wrinkles that they could. But it's like,
To me, when it broke, it's like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a circus. Like, he's going to really want to go to Buffalo and play with that offense and that young quarterback? And wow, he must really want out of Pittsburgh.
Not that bad, apparently.
No, not that bad. So, yeah, but just how it all went from Buffalo, like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it's Buffalo, and then, you know, a day or two, whatever it was, to the Oakland Raiders. Interesting, very, very interesting.
What do you think?
You know, he got what he wanted. He wanted to get paid. He wanted to get guarantees in his contract, and that's what he got. That's what he got. So good for him that he was able to accomplish that. So, you know, you look at the Raiders now, and obviously it's a division team for the Broncos, and they're trying to get Derek Carr or whoever their quarterback is going to be.
You think they're at play? First round?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think they're, you know, with John Gruden, man, he's always at play for a quarterback. You ever look at him in Tampa and what he did over there? I mean, he's always looking for a quarterback or their next quarterback. And, I mean, he can't be in love with Derek Carr. I don't think. I wouldn't think so, but, you know, who knows with John Gruden? He might be. He might be content with Derek Carr. To me, Gruden likes that veteran quarterback, a little bit older than Carr type of quarterback. You know, Brad Johnson, Rich Gannon type of quarterbacks. So, but I think anything is on the table. They could draft a quarterback at 4, and I'd be like, okay, yep. They want to, you know, they're looking for that next quarterback to run this offense of John Gruden's. They're saying all the right things about Derek Carr. We'll see how it plays out. But this Antonio Brown situation and getting that deal done, getting Trent Brown done, like they are trying to build something there.
Yeah.
And they're not just sitting on their hands this offseason.
Well, and I'm glad you brought in the Trent Brown news too, because, you know, we have been, you know, under the idea that the Raiders are building this thing. They have all these picks, and that, you know, we sort of separated them from the win now organizations, and they're telling you that's not the case.
Right. Last year they took a step back, but I think they realized the situation that they were in. And now, you know, they know they're going to Vegas here pretty soon. They got to get this thing going back in the right direction. They're not going to do the 76ers tank for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
They're not doing that. So I think they feel good about the moves that they made, and now they can be aggressive in free agency, and also they can make moves in the draft. So that's somebody we're going to have to deal with. And they might not be great this next year, but if they hit on some of these draft picks, you know, you're looking at a division where it's a little scary.
Yeah.
It's a little scary for the Broncos. You might all of a sudden fall to the bottom of the barrel really quick. And that's just the facts, and that's just reality, and that's the truth. And it's painful to say it because Mahomes and Kansas City aren't going anywhere.
Nope.
The Chargers with Phillip Rivers, how much longer is he gonna be around? But they got a great nucleus there to begin with, even without Phillip Rivers.
And he to Rivers, he didn't really show signs of slowing down at all this past year.
Not at all. And then you look at the Oakland Raiders and what they're trying to do. So things can turn around really quickly. I know those defensive linemen that they drafted, a couple of those guys last year, they were really high on. You all of a sudden you get Trent Brown, you move Colton Miller over to the right side, and if John Gruden in another year with Derek Carr, if he could get back to somewhat of his form that he had a few years ago, Antonio Brown now in the equation, you got 3 first round picks, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to build something there. So look, they can obviously screw it up, but that's the reality of where the Broncos sit right now. And you're looking at these things happening, and you're like, what's our move here?
Yeah,
what are we gonna do?
That's the question. Not really hearing anything.
Can they do anything? Can they really truthfully do anything, Zach? Right now, not really. To me, not really. They can't compete with these big money teams. I don't think they can say CJ Mosley, here's $15 million a year. They don't have that type of money. They don't have that luxury. They can't compete with these teams with all this cap space. So they have to be the team, I think, that's going to have to sit back for a couple days and let the free fall and the beginning of free agency come and go.
Yeah.
And then you kind of see what's left. And then, you know, you go for the bargains. You go to that bargain bin. Find some Stokelys in there.
You know, the more I thought about this, what you're saying here, the exact thing that you just laid out, is sort of the way that my mind has turned. That is John Elway really going to sign C.J. Mosley up to a near market-setting deal? Are we going to hamstring the rest of any potential deal and you're going to put all your money and energy into this one special, albeit special, linebacker? Is he going to do something like that with Landon? I don't know. And when I hear you say that, it's sort of reaffirming how I've been feeling the last 24 to 48 hours.
Just don't see it happening. I think what they're going to have to do is find them an Emmanuel Sanders and a Darian Stewart type of deals. Go find guys that you can find in the bargain basement section, and you sign them to a deal, and they play above their contract. That's what you're going to have to do this year, I think. Because like you said, you can't put all your money on in a linebacker and just forget about, hey, what about guard? A left or right tackle, depending on what we do in the draft. I mean, there's other needs on this football team, tight end, et cetera. I mean, you're going to have to pay money out. You can't throw all your money at one player.
Right.
So these upper echelon players, you're going to probably be out of the market on those guys. And you're going to have to wait and see, let all the excitement of the early days of free agency go, and then see what's left out there, and then go for those guys, and you sign them to a 2 or 3 year deal, and you're not really putting all your eggs in that one basket. There's just too many needs.
And if you're a Raider fan, today's a great day. This weekend's been a great stretch of time. Someone on the RamosLaw.com text line saying, is this turned into a Raiders show? No, absolutely not. But did the Raiders go just grab the most prolific wide receiver in football? Did the Raiders just pull in the best available left tackle in football?
Do they have 3 first-round draft picks this year?
It's just, like you said,
and then
it's just
a couple of the following year, right? And they're in our division. So the Broncos have to be looking at their division saying, man, you know, if they don't get things going here, all of a sudden they fall to the bottom.
Yep. And at the very same time, we are about to watch a lot of unrestricted free agents of our own walk out the door. But before that happens, I got to ask you, who would you like to see back? Who makes the most sense? And who's the most unrealistic? Those questions get answered next. There is a landscape that is constantly shifting this time of year in the National Football League. But then every team within that league feels its own shift. And we're about to feel it. You know, we've talked a lot about potential free agents that could come in here, Landon Collins, C.J. Mosley, others, tight ends, right? But we haven't officially, not that we're going to decide, but what does your gut tell you about our guys who are hitting the market? What unrestricted free agent Broncos, Stoke, would you like to see back? Who makes the most sense? And what's actually realistic when we look at the list?
Well, you look at the list, and the headliners, Matt Paradis, Bradley Roby, those two guys are the headliners, and it doesn't look like you'll be able to keep Roby. You look at Matt Paradis and what he's meant to this team over the last 4 years, and you would like to have him back, but are you going to be able to compete with some of these teams that, and a team that might overspend for him like the Jets, and that want to make him top 2 or 3 or maybe the highest paid center in the league? You don't know how it's going to go down. I don't think the Broncos want to do that. They don't want to have that type of money tied up into the center position. So I think they would want to reset there with Paradis. I don't think when you come this far, somebody is going to offer him a deal that the Broncos won't be able to match. So it looks like Roby is gone for sure. And Matt Paradis probably won't be around either. Now, if the market is not as hot as he thinks, then the Broncos could come back into play. But I don't think that's going to happen. Offensive line needy teams will overpay like we've seen already the last few years.
And even the last few days. You know, you look at what Pouncey got. You know, that is a market-setting new contract. And my gut tells me that's exactly what he's looking for. Now, whether he gets to that point or not, it's probably going to be just too much for the Broncos to afford. But even if they were in the mix and a team like just Team A pays him $1 more than he can make here in Denver, does he come back to Denver
for a good question.
For a dollar less?
What's what's the organization? What's the team? If it's the New York Jets, yeah, probably stays here. But if it's a more of a winning football team right now, he probably goes. You always want to, most of the time, you want to stay where you're comfortable and stay in the place that you've been your whole career. And so certainly it's a great organization here and a great place to live. But if it's a more of a winning organization, you'll probably leave if all things are equal. And I don't know how the contract negotiations have gone on up to date. He might be pissed off.
Right.
And he might say, forget the Broncos. Right. If it's even close, I'm leaving.
Right.
They have disrespected me. They haven't appreciated what I've done. I don't know how he feels about the organization right now. Because there can be some hurt feelings anytime that you go through negotiations.
And you also have to keep in mind and be a little bit sensitive to, not that this would dictate, but if there was a scenario that was paying Matt Paradis $1 more or equal value that he get here with the Broncos, you know, his frame of reference for the last couple of years has been extremely negative. A ton of change. Not only with the coaching staff and how the team has really taken a turn for the worse, but also the guys standing to the left and right of him.
It's a new offense, too. I mean, another offense. So what's really the difference in moving teams? You have to learn a new offense regardless here. The one guy that really you look at on this list, and, you know, you got Jared Valdez, you got Billy Turner, Jeff Hyman, Shaq Barrett, Shane Ray, Pecco, Zach Kerr, Max Garcia, Tremaine Brock, is Billy Turner. That's a guy that they are really high on, that they really wanted back, that they really tried to re-sign before free agency starts. And he was probably smart to, I'll wait, see what the market is for me. And I think his versatility, obviously, being able to play guard, being able to play tackle, that's a guy that you want back. And that would be a huge blow if the Broncos lose Billy Turner. Because a guy can play left side, right side, tackle, guard. I mean,
right.
He's very, very valuable. And we saw that last year. So, you know,
Billy Turner.
Matt Paradis.
Or, excuse me.
Yeah, sorry. Is a headliner on the offensive line that we're talking about the most. But Billy Turner might hurt more than a guy like Matt Paradis. And we'll see.
Right.
They might lose both of them.
You know,
they might just be trying to reset everything, and we don't want to overpay. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with those two guys and what the plan is when it comes to the offensive line.
Losing both Billy Turner and Matt Paradis is more likely, certainly, than bringing them both back. And losing both Billy Turner and Matt Paradis may be more likely than any one of them coming back. Because, again, the market for the line.
And the value and the premium that organizations realize now more so than ever, the importance of good offensive line play. And it's hard to find them. And so if you have a good one and he's a free agent, guess what happens? He gets overpaid.
Yep.
He gets overpaid. And if you have a versatile one that can play center, that can play guard, that can play tackle, any side, those guys are at a very high premium. And now he won't get paid like a, you know, starting left tackle like Trent Brown, but he'll get paid a lot more money than people would expect. Like, oh,
yep.
Billy Turner made that?
Yep. And I think a big part about that, you know, helped the Broncos this past year, but also, excuse me, my voice is on the fritz here. I apologize. With Billy Turner, the versatility, because he can play guard and tackle, does he want to get paid like a guard? Because he can play tackle. So you're right. He's probably not going to get paid like a starting left tackle, but he might get paid like a right tackle.
Sure. Absolutely.
So we'll see. And you know what makes it a little bit, the Billy Turner one, and I'm glad you highlighted him, because I think the Broncos, and me, just speaking for myself personally, I was excited to see what a guy like Billy Turner could become. He's only 27 years old under Mike Munchak for the next handful of years. What does that look like?
The Broncos might overpay a guy like that too. They might realize their situation, realize his value, and they have to overpay for him. We'll see. It's going to be interesting We got a RamosLaw.com text if you want to chime in, 303-713-1043. Paredes has been the best O-line on a really bad O-line. Don't overpay. Wasn't expecting don't overpay at the end.
What does your gut tell you? What does your gut tell you? Do you mind if we go through the list of names and
I don't mind at all.
The percentage out of 100 of probability that they'll be back in a Broncos uniform. Okay? So I'll tee you up with the name. You say, hey, 100% back or 1% back, anything in between.
Okay.
Matt Paradis.
35% back.
That is a fatter number than I thought you were going to give, to be honest with you. Okay. I was expecting 15 to 20% just because of what he's going to get in the open market. But I'm going to write these down and we'll revisit it after this free agency's over. Bradley Roby.
7%.
Jared Valdir.
That's an interesting one. What is his market going to be? Older guy. He might be one of those guys that they just say, we can bring him back pretty cheap. We know what he can do. We got nobody else. I'll put Jared Valdir at 25%.
Jared Valdir is a very interesting one. As you said, if he does come back for the Broncos, it would be unusual. Here's why. And I saw this from our buddy Zach Stevens' article over the weekend. Think about this quote. This should hurt your head a little bit. If Jared Valdir isn't back with the Broncos in 2019, they'll have had a different starting right tackle in week one for the past six seasons.
Whew. Yeah. It's not good.
It's not good.
So you want to know why the Broncos' offensive line has not been very good here lately? Well, that's one reason why right there.
It's a revolving cast of characters.
That's right. You got to have some consistency. And they have had none at the right tackle position.
None.
And so if they draft a left tackle at 10, boom, move Bowles to the right tackle. Now you might have all of that fixed, hopefully.
Could.
Right? That's what the Raiders are trying to do. Get Trent Brown, move him to the left, take their first-round pick from last year, Colton Miller, throw him to the right side. Bam. You got both things fixed now.
Possible. Billy Turner, what are the chances he's back?
I think 25%. I think they would love to have him back. I don't think they'll be able to compete when it comes to the marketplace for Billy Turner. I think he's going to get paid a lot of money.
Jeff Heuerman.
5%. It might be one of those situations where there's nobody else out there, though, for him. And that's why I give him 5%. I think other than that, he comes back on hardly nothing, a one-year prove-it deal. I don't see any way that you'd want Jeff Heuerman back.
Shaq Barrett.
10%. You'd love to have Shaq back, but there's just, you know, he wants to start.
Right.
Probably deserves to start.
Yep.
And somebody will pay him to start. So that leaves the Broncos on the back burner when it comes to Shaq Barrett. He deserves it. It's going to be fun to watch Shaq Barrett hopefully get that opportunity and see what he can do.
Yep, just no availability here.
Yeah, not enough money to pay him. No room for him to start. You got Bradley Chubb. You got Von Miller.
Shane Ray.
5%.
That might even be high.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you could see Shane Ray come back is if there's no market for him, and Vic Fangio said, hey, bring him back here. I'll get the most out of Shane Ray. I would love that challenge. I would love that challenge. It doesn't cost you a lot of money. Now you got a veteran backup that knows this organization and would obviously, you know him pretty well, and you would hope to get the best out of him. You sign him until 1 year, not a lot of money with some incentives in the contract. Other than that, it's just probably not going to happen, though.
And then you mix in the personality conflict at the end of last year and him sort of speaking up. It just seems like Pecco, Domata.
You know, they want to get younger at the nose tackle position. He's a guy that you could see them bring back later. I don't think there'll be a strong market for him right away. Might be one of those things where he goes through all of the offseason, and then it's a training camp type of situation for Petco. And the Broncos certainly, you know, he's great in the locker room, great teammate. I'll give Petco a 20% chance. I just think that he might be one of those guys that nobody else picks up, and all of a sudden training camp comes, Broncos have an injury there, or the younger guy's not stepping up. Hey, Petco, come on back, please.
Sure. Zach Kerr.
That's going to be interesting. See what his marketplace looks like on the open market. But certainly, if you lose Petco and Kerr, it's like, ooh, you're taking a hit there to the nose tackle position.
They came in together a couple of years ago,
right,
during this period.
Zach Kerr, I'd put at 20%.
Okay. Max Garcia.
I think they're ready to move on from Max Garcia. I'll put him at about 15%.
Tremaine Brock.
It's an interesting one. He was Vance's guy, I think, is why he came in here. Vance knew him from previous stops. I think San Francisco, they were together. I look at Tremaine Brock, and you just don't know. You know, right away you might say he's gone. He didn't play, you know, a ton. He was kind of injured. But if you need that spot filled and you need a veteran presence there, and he's not going to cost you a lot, I'm going to put Tremaine Brock at 25%. 25 is a little bit too much.
So 20%. So the most likely player in this very informal, won't hold you to it, is Matt Paradis. It's probably the best football player at his position with the most left in the tank, we think, on the list.
I mean, I think they would like to have Paradis back, certainly. At the right number, though. What will that number be coming off the injury for him? That's the question. Look, you could see every single one of these guys not come back. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise either one of us.
It's the NFL.
Look, I mean, you're 5-11, 6-10. I mean, I know some of these guys are good players, but at the same time, you don't want to overpay.
And a lot of them, most of them are just guys at this point. They're just guys. Now, our proximity to them maybe has, you know, distorted how we view them because there's some sentiment involved. We like them. A lot of these guys are just guys, and the Broncos should be moving on from most of these guys. It should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at this list and you look at what they need to accomplish and the money that they have, it's not a ton of money in the free agency world of things that you might just pass. Just say, nope. We're going to take this money, and if we lose a Matt Paradis, if we lose a Billy Turner and they get good deals somewhere else, you know what we get the following year? We get compensatory picks. We're going to kind of reset this thing. We got other things that we need to do with this money and other things that we need to address. Mike Munchak earned your paycheck this year. Well, you know, maybe we'll draft you a left tackle, but as far as guard center play is concerned, we'll have to just kind of figure that out. Sam Jones. Ron, you there? Can you come back from that Achilles, please? That's a bad deal for the Broncos right there, though. That's a bad, bad. And that Ron Leary contract.
You're saying it's a bad contract, the Ron Leary contract.
Yeah, his contract that's, you know, guaranteed for injury, so they can't cut him. They would move on from Ron Leary. And it's $5-6 million this year.
That's right.
So certainly they wouldn't be paying Ron Leary that. He has not performed up to that level. And so that bad contract that the Broncos signed with Ron Leary, make no mistake about it, bad free agent contract. He was supposed to come in and be that stalwart left guard, a mauler.
That's right.
Cowboys, you know, that offense, he was a linchpin of that offensive line, and he was going to come here and do the same thing here, and it just hasn't happened. And then now, it's like a double whammy. It's a right left. It's a bad deal. Okay, we can get out of it. Oh, no, you can't. Look right, fine print. Injury guarantee. So now you're stuck with him for another year. That might cost you Matt Paradis.
Gosh.
And that might cost you Billy Turner. See, that's how you have to look at it. That's when it really hurts. is like, yeah, it was a bad deal. He didn't really live up to the expectations that we had. I mean, we were hoping that Ron Leary would come in and just...
Yeah, we're excited about Ron Leary.
So excited about Ron Leary.
Like, this is going to change how we view this Broncos O-line.
And now you're stuck with him going into year three of the contract when you would love to get away from it. So that money that you have tied up is going to cost you another player.
Mm.
Will he even be available?
That would be the third cross hook for the knockout.
Yeah, that'd be back. The right, left, and then it would be the Mike Tyson just like uppercut. I mean, that might be it. He might not even be available.
Gosh.
He might not play one down.
He's got guaranteed money.
And you're going to lose. You're going to lose a really good player because of that contract.
Wow.
Wow. You got to always read that fine print.
Gosh.
That hurts.
That does hurt. That does hurt. I'm glad you laid it out the way that you just did, because we often, as fans, speaking as, you know, a layman, you don't see the ripple effect. You know, you don't see what you can't do.
That's right.
Because of something.
That's right. And you don't see, hey, Ron Leary just cost you Billy Turner.
Right.
Ron Leary just cost you your best offensive lineman, Matt Paradis. We couldn't go to that. Those numbers that the other teams are going to, because we got almost $7 million, $6.5 million tied up in Ron Leary this year. It hurts. It hurts when you look at it that way. Say, oh, good for Ron Leary. You know, he's getting his money. Yeah, but when you look at it and you start looking at the players that it's going to cost you, and he might not even see the field. His play was declining anyway.
Wow.
I mean, that one really hurts. That one really hurts.
And someone on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, says, so by all accounts, this line is shaping up to be worse than last year. Don't know that yet. We don't know that yet.
Not going there. Not going there at all. If what happens if we draft number 10, we draft a left tackle? Move balls to right tackle. You get a second, third day guard on the market. Guy comes in and plays well for you. Move McGovern over to center where he played towards the end of the year when Paradis got hurt. And, you know, if somebody else plays right guard for you, Sam Jones or whoever. And you got a new system. Oh, by the way, you got a new coach, Mike Munchak. And it just works better. I mean, those things happen. They do happen.
Yep.
So... And who knows what it's going to look like?
And I hate to use the Patriots as an example again, but a year ago, folks around there thought, hey, they just lost their left tackle that's been protecting Tom Brady for years. You know, what are we going to do? Well, they had no fall off. In fact, they might have even upgraded by trading a fifth-round pick for Trent Brown. So we don't know what's about to happen next. We don't know who we're going to draft, and you highlighted the coaching factor too. So, but that said, there's reason why that listener would say what they said. That you're telling me we're going to lose Billy Turner? We're telling you that Matt Paradis has been our most consistent offensive lineman at the center spot. We're likely going to lose him. We're talking about moving our left tackle to right tackle because he's not up to snuff. I could see the level of concern.
Yeah. I mean, it could work out that way, for sure. It could go from bad to worse. It happens. I don't think it will, though. I think it will get better, even if we lose Matt Paradis.
You think it'll get better?
I do. I think coaching is such a huge part of this equation and situation, and new system, new offensive line coach, and I think that, you know, they will add a piece. And will it be 10? Could be. And I think they get that left tackle spot shored up, and I think Bowles switch him to right tackle. But they will get a piece or two in the draft, and they will get a piece or two in free agency.
I'm seeing on the RamosLaw.com text line, sometimes I feel like John Elway and co. metaphorically is like the guy with mud cake boots trying to mop the kitchen floor.
It feels that way sometimes.
Sometimes it does.
That's what happens when you've missed for a long time in the draft when it comes to linemen, and you miss in free agency. I mean, it's Band-Aids. That's what it is, Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. So will this be the year that they stop going the Band-Aid route and go at number 10, go left tackle and move Bowles to right tackle. And now hopefully he plays better. Your left tackle spot is fixed, but I think there will be a couple Band-Aids regardless, maybe one. I mean, you got to, if you lose Paradis and Billy Turner, you're going to have to find somebody.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a top-tier guy.
You know, I really don't like the idea of drafting a left tackle at number 10, but I'm starting to come around to it. I'm like, these conversations that we've had now for a third straight offseason, Stoke, about the offensive line, it's...
You want left tackle or you want tight end?
I want tight end. I want TJ Hawkinson.
Oh, I didn't know if the weekend changed your mind.
I'm starting to come around to the idea of just, you want to know what?
Sound like you had a lot of soul searching this weekend.
Gosh.
Raspy.
I am
algebra
raspy.
Is the answer, searching for the problem.
That's right. That's
Thank
right.
Thank you, Antonio.
I have a hard question that I need to ask, but it needs to be asked. Are the Broncos becoming the worst team in the division? It's next.